They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Patriots have the 6-0 lead as Gostkowski comes on for the point after try on the natural grass. Cardona snap to Allen. Kick is aloft to the uprights, and it bangs off the right upright. No good.
Missed a 33-yarder in a team warm-up.
42 yards away. And the near half. Snap by Cardona to Allen. Kick is headed to the uprights, and the kick is no good. Gostkowski missed an extra point. And now he has missed the 42-yard field goal try. There's a single back for the Pats as Hogan motions to the right, and there's a flag thrown by
Full start.
The referee, a full start.
Number 61, offense. 5-yard penalty, still second down.
Dante's going to go nuts.
Marcus Cannon called for the false start.
Killing yourself, man. Let's make a quick decision. It's a one read, and boom, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, I got to pitch it.
They can't afford a sack. That's the last thing for Brady and the Patriots. Other than a turnover here, it could take. Stands in, under pressure. He's hit, and down he goes. Brady is sacked and back at the 10-yard line, and the Patriots cannot clock it.
Are you kidding me?
The sack.
He's got to throw that away.
Tom Brady with an uncharacteristic mistake.
Are you stupid or something?
I just lost. I thought we had one timeout.
Almost as stupid as a stupid does.
All the dumb mistakes you expect from the other team. Except it happened to the Patriots.
I blew the down.
Clock it. Can't. It's fourth down.
Yeah, you can't do it there.
I know Brady took it, put it on himself. And so the reason he put it on himself is there's no field goal unit ready to run on the field. In case, the play call from the side is they're thinking, okay, he's going to throw it away. This is what you assume, too, when you have a guy that's done it for 19 years. Like, he's not
right.
Going to blow the situation.
There's an assumption that is made by the coaches that they don't need to put it in his ear.
I don't even need to tell him. Hey, Tom, like, normally, like, it's Baker Mayfield out there. Hey, Baker, if you don't have it, throw it in the first row.
Baker, just forget. No sacks here. Can't take a sack.
Remember Detroit and Kaiser last year taking the sneak right before the half? And
right.
Helmets, players slamming their helmets and breaking,
right.
breaking their ear pads. It's just stuff you never thought you would see Brady do, and he did.
No, it's like Matt Ryan in the Super Bowl. Matt, you could do anything you want here. Just don't take a sack. Just don't take a sack.
I blame Sosie.
And then what do? You take a sack, and you sit there. And obviously, this is not a game of similar importance, but you look at it and say, what the hell are you doing?
Sosie put the kaputs on him there, he said.
And not only that.
Sosie was the only one that knew anything at that point.
I know.
He was right there.
Right.
Sosie knew it.
Can't take a sack.
He said it before the play. He said, you just can't take a sack
here. Take a sock.
Strong.
Oh, he's so looking yesterday. Down on people.
Strong.
That was a good one.
Best one of the year.
Yep.
That was the most definitive, well-defined of the year.
In-your-face. Arm right.
Yep.
Cocky sucker.
He knew it. Don't take a sack. Just don't take a sack here. It's all you can. That's the only thing you can't do. Don't run the football. God. Don't take a sack. Those are the rules on that play. He took a sack.
But you know what?
He could
have. If you think you have a timeout, then you can take a sack.
Right. He could have gotten rid of the football anyway, though.
If you knew.
He had an opportunity twice to get rid of the ball.
The sideline wasn't even ready for any awareness to where even if he did get tackled. What was the reaction
on the sideline? Because they didn't really show that on TV. On the game broadcast, what was their reaction?
Turned and walked in the locker room. Like, I couldn't believe it. Nobody's freaking. I mean, that's, oh my God, our quarterback blew it.
See, to me, on that play,
that's the way that one went.
What you can also do is, if you're Tom Brady, and this happens several times throughout the season, it happened here a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know what you can do? You know what you can do? Mm-hmm. You can take the ball, run around your left tackle, go right there in the end zone. It's right there for you.
Really? With a bad knee?
He's a football player.
He can
run 10 feet.
Did the knee affect his processing on that series? Because the Gronkowski touchdown.
I don't know. Everybody says about how the first half he's so good.
Great.
We're still in the first half.
I thought he completely ruined his first half with this play.
Oh, totally. Series at the end. That's the kill. That's the kill series. You got Miami. Their quarterback goes down. He went to the locker room, followed by three papier-mâché dolphin head figures. It was weird, man. Tannehill's walking in, and there's like three puppets, like 6 foot eight puppets walking behind him in the locker room. Talk about a freak show down here. Mm-hmm. He goes in, and you block the punt. Gase throws his headset in the air. Like, that's the game. The Heist came in. He couldn't do anything. All 6 foot eight of him, his size 16 shoes. He looks like Big Bird out there. Sitting him, put him in the pistol. He's like, just clap your hand, snap it. Yeah, break. You blocked the punt. You were going to score. You were going to go up two scores. That was going to be ball game there. You had a chance to bury them there. You gave them life. That whole sequence at the end of that first half gave that team life. And I kept saying it. Keep letting them hang around. Bad things happen in fourth quarters down there when that team's hanging around. You let them hang around. That was sad.
Brady made a number of great throws in the first half.
It was the best I've
probably
seen him throw
none
the ball.
Better than the one that he threw to Cordarrelle Patterson.
He was MVP last year.
He made some throws in this game that we have not seen him make all year.
He obviously was the MVP last year, had a fantastic Super Bowl, put up a ton of yards. But the way he threw the ball in the second half against Atlanta in the Super Bowl, the timing, and especially in overtime, that speed out to Amendola on the sideline, that was one to Edelman yesterday. I don't ever remember him throwing a skinny post. That's the old Aikman, Michael Irvin play, or Harper, where they just go double skinny posts. And it's not a deep post. It's that thin skinny where it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you zing it. You stick it right in the hands, right on the chest. That thing was a dime, man.
Is that a play that they used to run to Rob Gronkowski every now and again?
No. That's a post, right?
No.
Gronkowski's the widening seam up the seam.
Not the skinny post.
It's coming.
That Cordarrelle Patterson touchdown,
yeah,
that was one of the plays I was prepared to argue about after the game. As good as the throw was, I thought the catch was phenomenal, like a fingertip back of the football catch, whereas let's just say some people said, no, that's what you do when the ball hits you in the hand.
I disagree, because I think the only reason it looked like a great catch was because he fumbles around with the damn ball.
He double clutch it.
Yeah.
He caught the back of the ball. He didn't have his hands ready to catch the front of the ball. He caught the back of the ball.
I don't think he was expecting the ball.
I think anybody with a real set of hands, you don't even notice them catching the
ball. When's the last time
you wouldn't even notice
when's
it?
When's the last time
he disappears in Josh Gordon's hands?
For his skill set, then, it was a really good catch.
Oh, for him, it was fabulous.
Because he has hands like feet, man.
When's the last time they lined him up outside and threw him the ball?
That guy has hands of stone. I mean, they are just not soft hands. At all.
It's like the movie with the guy that just claps his hands, keeps clapping, and then the ball just sticks at one point.
Replacements, Jim. The replacements, number 88.
But it was right out of the gate. Throw to Gordon right out of the gate. Throw to Edelman on the sideline right out of the gate. He had some really great throws. His
mechanics
and timing.
His first
half yesterday was awesome right up until he didn't know how many timeouts the team had. And that's not just on him.
No.
It's like 90% on him and 10% on the coaches. You know, it doesn't kill to remind a guy what situation.
No, it doesn't kill you. This is gonna.
And on any other team, right, with a lesser quarterback, the coaches are still telling the guy the situation, and so they just probably get to a point where they just assume Brady knows everything, and Brady never makes a mistake because he rarely ever does.
Well, you learn from it now too, and you just beat it like a dead horse. You beat it into him. You grab his thing by the horns and you beat it like a dead horse, and you say you're not forgetting it anymore. We're just going to continue to coach you up. Stuff we talk about that they don't do with Rodgers that they do with Brady. Coach them up on the sideline. Stuff you can't take for granted. Because, I mean, your mind's moving a mile, 8 million different ways. You're thinking about everything. You're processing. You don't think he knows he couldn't take a sack there? It's the way he tucks that ball down based on the way he belled and threw it to Hogan on second down. Thinking he even probably knew it on second down. I got a timeout I could use on third down. I'm not going to bang it on second. So I'm going to hurry up and throw it and panic throw this one out to Hogan.
Shockingly dumb play from Brady. The final play to me is dumb. I don't get why Rob Gronkowski's on the field. He doesn't need to be on the field. I don't like it. Taking Devin McCourty off, putting Rob Gronkowski on, hate it. Hate all of it. That was a bad one. I got some other random second guesses for you. Where the hell was James White in this game? Where was he?
It's like they arrested him in the first half. Bob and I are looking at each other like, was he even on the field?
So
I think he played three snaps.
Mike Reese had him down for 17 snaps in the first half.
I couldn't tell you three.
He had him down for 17 and Sony Michel down for 16. And I saw that and I said, is this right? Could this be right?
Maybe he got confused a little. Because there's times where they look
check that tweet. I couldn't believe it.
They look identical based on the shoes. They both wear red shoes. and you see the 2 and the 6 and the 2 and 8.
I don't know. I trust Reese. Reese has been doing this for a long
time.
Reese
is so good. I want to make sure I had.
Reese probably went back.
I didn't
back
have
and
an old tweet.
Recounted. Reese probably has an abacus in his bag.
Here it is.
Dan Roach carries a baseball.
He tweeted this out. Patriots running back snap tracker at halftime. James White, 17. Sony Michel, 16. Rex Burkhead, 11. The Patriots have run two plays with two running backs on the field at the same time.
It's probably right.
Where the hell was James White? Well, why was he not used more?
Well, it's probably when the Devlin formations where they went regular with Devlin and White, and then they go empty and flex, and James is on the outside, and he just doesn't become part of the play.
You notice a play or two in the first half where Devlin was lined up as the tight end?
I could tell.
I want to go back. I know. I saw at least one.
When they were down to the far end left and they were coming back at us, I couldn't tell because we had no monitor. So I couldn't tell by positioning. I could see the play, but I couldn't tell personnel. If that makes sense.
The official NFL has for the full game, he played 33 snaps. 40%. Sony Michel played 34. Rex Burkhead played 17.
So Sony Michel was on the field more than James White was.
It felt like that.
By the way, that
Patriots, one snap.
That Patriots running game is wholly overrated based on yesterday's game alone. You go in against a 30th ranked team in terms of yards given up a game on the ground, and you can't run the ball.
The criticism of Michel will be fair for not dropping the shoulder in short yardage situations. He's got to learn short yardage and goal line.
And it is 100% dependent on how well the offensive line plays. There is no extra boost or ability coming out of the backs themselves. It is all based on how it's blocked up, which I understand. But I don't feel like there's a guy in the backfield that can make something out of nothing on this team. It is all or nothing. They either have a huge hole and they take it, or it's not there and they're down at the line of scrimmage. There's nobody really making a play there. Final two plays before they kick the final field goal, before the whole disaster. Two plays, two handoffs to Sony Michel. The first play, he gets stopped at the line. The second play, it looks like he had some space and he picks up 2 yards. And I just can't fathom that if it were the other team doing this, if it were Frank Gore yesterday, who was how old now? How old is Frank Gore?
55.
Frank, he's 55? Is he almost eligible for like Social Security?
He's pension worthy.
But he's 35. Yeah. He's 35 years old. Yeah. If you handed that ball off twice to 35-year-old Frank Gore, that he would have gotten 2 yards on those two plays. What would you think he would have picked up?
His legs would have still been moving.
He would have been moving and moving and pushing the pile and getting his ass close to the goal line.
The first downs of Michel.
It's just not there yet with Sony Michel. It might be.
It might get there. Yeah,
it
will. But you can't. You run out of time here.
Not there yet.
Three games left.
Not there yet.
It's the first contact on first down when he hits and he turns sideways and boom, legs stop. And he just tries to hold the ball and protect it and stand upright.
This is supposed to be Jeremy Hill's spot. That role was supposed to be Jeremy Hill's until he blew his leg out.
Well, when you draft a running back in the back in the first round, you should be able to be relied on little more than
totally
the 2 yards on two plays.
Nobody thought of him as a short yardage guy coming out of Georgia. Nobody.
He's a breakaway guy. He's a get to the outside and run.
Yep. So my point is, I don't know if it's ever going to come. But you said it's going to come at some point, hopefully. But like, I don't know.
No, you could change a running style. You could teach a running style. I mean, you could coach that up. Drop your pad level. Stay on a guy like Brady.
Patterson's their best straight ahead ram it in runner.
Yep.
I know everyone laughs at it, but he's their best guy at that.
That's what makes it.
I think he was at fullback first play of the game. I'm not even sure.
617-779-0985. You drafted a running back in the first round. You would have been better off putting Cordarrelle Patterson in the backfield. I mean, come on.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Got to be ready for anything. It's football. And the way it ended, I mean, it sucked. I mean, never really been a part of anything like that. I feel like it's going to test our character big time, how we bounce back from something like that. And just... It's going to test our character. It's going to test our mental toughness. And, I mean, I feel like I've been going through that all year, and now to get to this point now, so just got to keep working hard. We just got to keep grinding. we got to keep focusing and just come together as a team more. And it's definitely going to test our mental toughness.
Rob Gronkowski, after the loss yesterday, a lot of talk about challenge going forward, testing character, testing everything. It's going to be a challenge for them, bringing this all together. I think some of the most interesting comments came not only from Gronkowski, but Matthew Slater as well, who had quite a bit to say after the loss. And these are guys who I look at and say, okay, these are leaders on the team, right?
They're team captains. Yeah, there's one message that gets said right after the game. Somebody calls somebody up and somebody steps up and says something.
So Slater spoke both in the locker room and he did an interview with Steve Burton, which we will get to in a moment. But this comment was tweeted out. Mark Daniels had this, among others. Matthew Slater saying, we have to process it, air out our grievances if anyone has any, and move forward. There's no magic pill or secret recipe to move past this. It's mental fortitude. It's mental toughness. It's character and professionalism to move forward. And these quotes to me were somewhat alarming because my thought on this is these guys are saying this because they had to tell somebody this. They had to say this to somebody. They felt the need to say this to somebody in that room or multiple players or a group of players. The piece of that caught my attention with the Slater one was, air out the grievances if anyone has any. Airing out of the grievances. And so that caught my eye. And then he went on TV and did this interview with Steve Burton, and have a listen to Matthew Slater after the loss.
Tell me what a loss like this does to your football team and the message that you got to deliver to these players.
Yeah, you know, I certainly think this is a character building opportunity for us. You know, when things are going well for you all the time and always going your way, it's really hard to build character. But I think when you face adversity, things don't go your way, you have to find a way to respond. It builds character. So I certainly believe that the men in this locker room have that perspective. We have enough men with enough resolve and the right guiding force to understand that, hey, this is what we're dealing with, and this is how we need to respond moving forward. So we'll find out next Sunday.
So a loss like this does not break this football team?
Absolutely not.
You won't let it?
No, it won't happen.
Does it become a mental thing down here in Miami?
You know, I mean, people can say that. I think every year is different. Every team's different. Every game is different. I don't think it's a mental thing. I think we played well enough to win today. It just didn't work out for us.
What happens? What happened on that last play?
You know, I can't really speak to it. I wasn't in the game.
You were on the field.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll figure it out, though.
Does that make that plane ride home a whole lot longer?
Yeah, it's always longer after a game like this, but I think it's a good opportunity for us to lean in on one another like families do in times of adversity. You got to lean on one another and... You know, we're all we have, and we got to figure it out.
You mentioned something about pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say?
And nobody's going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that here. We don't point fingers. We don't place blame. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And it's as simple as that.
What did you tell them? I told them we don't point fingers. We don't place blame. Because Burton, good job picking up on that. Hey, you said something about pointing fingers. What did you say? The way he phrased it. What did you say? And he admits that he told somebody, told his teammates, there is no pointing fingers on this. There is no placing blame on anybody.
All three.
There are no
blame.
Gripes. If you got grievances, let's air them out. You don't say those things unless you feel a need to say them.
You're not Jacksonville, right? You're not Jacksonville when they're jamming and their offense sucks. So you had all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, who made really good plays at times yesterday throughout the course of that game, and then really stunk the joint out throughout the course of that game. There's not one unit could sit there and say, well, you lost that game for us. You could sit there and you could question personnel decisions. You could question, well, why'd we do this at the end of the game? And that's the team captain saying, we're going to stay ahead of that. That's part of the grievance thing. You get rid of it. Let that digest. Plane was fast on the way home. That wasn't a long plane ride. And I think that's a good thing, too.
It just feels like the players went to the locker room after the game, and minutes later,
Look how we felt.
You've got availability, and you've got two pretty significant leaders on the team saying, yeah, there will be no pointing of the fingers. They're saying all these things like they had just said them a few minutes before because they were telling someone to shut up.
Yeah. I set a land speed record getting down there because the
land speed record.
Locker room was directly like below our booth, and I knew a back stairwell to what I talk about through the club.
You played there. So I got down.
Well, I walk around a lot before the game to make sure I have the quickest path down. I'm not sitting on an elevator and waiting with Ben Bolin, licking fingers.
So you scout. You do a little scouting.
Scout it out. Find my path quick so Capella and I can get down there. Capella needs to get sound. And I got to get there for fifth quarter because it's a little more pressing on the road for me because I do fifth quarter. And then once the players start coming, I got to go through security, get on the bus. It's not like at home where I could stand there for an hour and do it. So I rush to get down there. I was down there in like 3 minutes. Bill was already at the podium. So that told me right away, like, uh-oh, this is going to be a quick one. Like, okay, Bill quickly addressed the team, dealt with it, and then got out there and beat, basically, there was only three beat reporters there.
Jim, we're putting together the timeline here. Bill comes in, quickly addresses the team, leaves the room, goes to the podium. What happened while Bill was at the podium and out of the room?
Oh, now you're speculating here.
I am speculating.
I jokingly, off the air, told you yesterday, I said, oh, I wonder if the name Malcolm Butler came up anywhere in the locker room postgame. Personnel thing, packages, all that stuff. Yeah. But now, as I'm thinking about it overnight.
As they say on Felger and Maz, the palace queue.
Yeah, that was joking. But thinking about it overnight, I wonder if preemptively the guys that went through it last year and saw all the finger pointing maybe said,
oh boy,
we're not doing this again this year. We're going to come out and say, listen, nobody's pointing fingers. If you have anything to say, let's say it right now. And not, let's not make this a week-by-week issue that goes and lingers on like the Malcolm Butler thing.
Because you do have some new guys, and you got some new young guys that are sitting there looking around.
Oh, you know it's not the guys who have been here for a while.
No.
You know it's not the veterans.
No, hell no.
It's not the McCourties
or Gronkowski.
Last year it was with the Butler thing.
Gilmore.
It was those guys.
Danny Amendola.
And the Instagram likes and all that stuff.
You got guys playing through stuff, too. So when you play through stuff, you get a little more peaked or a little more irritated when stuff doesn't go your way.
What happened in the room when Bill wasn't in there? What happened with just players, not coaches, players?
Well, here's
what were they
thing.
Saying?
When Bill's in there.
Venting.
When Bill makes it in there that quickly, that locker room's open quick. So it's not like somebody didn't hear anything. So if something went down, somebody would have heard something. I talked to a lot of guys after that game. I didn't get one.
They're not opening up the locker room 3 minutes after the game ends. Don't do it that soon, are they?
Well, I don't know. Three minutes? It depends. It's whatever the coach wants to do.
Everything. I will say this. Everything came quick yesterday. After that game, everything came.
See, most
Belichick, I feel like he does this on losses that are like this.
To avoid the media.
He purposely
They're
gets down
in the room
there
yet.
Quick.
And normally.
He was only like 3 minutes long yesterday. And there was a lot of silence in there.
Because there was no one in the room to ask any questions.
Three people.
They tried to wrap it up after like a minute and a half, and then somebody asked a question. I think it was Burton. Asked a question.
Burton did.
But usually we get our email with our post-game sound from Capello. That came really early. Real early.
Yeah. It was quick in and out of there. That's the quickest we ever got in and out of there, man. Think about that, too. You probably have equipment guys back in there. You know, it's like, ready to pop the champagne corks. You got the hats and boxes of the T-shirts.
It's like the Red Sox in 86.
So now all of a sudden.
Quick! Holy crap. Take down the tarps.
No,
take down the tarps.
They probably did. And I bet there's people that did a full-on sprint.
Get that champagne the hell out of here.
From that sideline. Assistant equipment guy screaming, getting in there before one player rolled in.
Take those hats off.
Pack them up.
Get their shirts off the hook.
It's the visiting clubhouse at Shea Stadium in 1986. That's what it is.
I wonder if security held the door shut to make sure they clean the lock because they probably put a T-shirt on every chair. They lined the chairs up around all the lockers. You put a T-shirt and hat on every chair. As that game's winding down, the second
don't fold them.
Kicks
don't
it.
We don't have time to fold them.
Put them in the
back. Give me the bag. Give me just garbage bag.
Hurry up.
I don't care.
In the bag.
Get them out of here.
Oh, that's all in play. That's all.
Okay.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. It's time to read.
Strap yourself in, Hardy.
And react.
I'm bringing the jello pudding.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
To the window.
to the wall.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, Hardy, take it away. It's Read and React.
Oh, all right. Let's just get right to it then.
No, I mean, it's South Station to Albany, Albany to Cleveland, Cleveland to wherever.
React. Ken. Steelers lost to the Raiders 24-21. Ben Roethlisberger injured at the end of the first half. It's gone. Oh, my God. How are they going to do it? Came out of the locker room. Third quarter. Didn't go into the game, though, until just over 5 minutes left in the fourth. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say about Ben Roethlisberger going back in.
What was the determination to put Ben back in?
You know, he was, you know, he got looked at at halftime. He got treatment. He came back out.
Treatment.
We were waiting to see if he was going to be able to come back in. He was.
Took a needle.
Probably could have come in a series or so sooner, but we were in the rhythm in Florida game. He was ready to go when he got back out there.
I like, what kind of treatment do you get at halftime in 12 minutes that makes you feel so good that you could get back in there with 5 minutes left in the game?
Well,
probably a little ice.
I got a few ideas.
Stim.
Do you know what the rhythm and flow of the game was that Tomlin just mentioned?
Yes, what? What rhythm and flow?
One turnover on downs, punt, and then the pick.
Mm.
So that was the rhythm and flow that they didn't want to disrupt.
So that would be bad flow. I mean, it's still flow. The game is flowing poorly.
Flow is flow.
Yeah.
Neither negative nor positive.
It's either heavy flow or light flow.
Well, okay. All right, then. Jeez.
What is?
I mean, it's either this guy is going to play. Apart or it's, this guy is going to play on Sunday. This is going to be some useless storyline leading up to the game.
Get ready.
About how he's banged up and he's a warrior.
Get
he's
ready for Wednesday's throwing. Presser.
Get the hell out of here.
He's going to have ribs taped
up.
Of course. He's going to have an ice pack on. He's going to limp in with a cane. Get ready for the hamming up of the Ben Roethlisberger injury this week in Pittsburgh. Buy it for 1 second.
Did you see the final touchdown pass that he threw, though?
Did you see him beat that shark off?
Yeah.
I mean, it should have been picked.
Yeah.
It was one.
He almost did it again.
But that's him at full health. I mean, that's no different than what he normally is.
No, but that's what he does. It's almost
like. He did it last week.
Yes.
If there's any way that you could potentially tackle a Steeler receiver inside the five, it will help you. Like, give him the big 45-yard gainer. Get him down at the five. He's going to throw a pick the way he did against New England.
Yes.
He's going to do it like he did in Denver. And he almost did exactly the same thing that he did in Denver yesterday.
Yeah. He threw it right between the guy's arms and it went like this.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
First time I flew to Istanbul, the plane started smoking.
React.
Oh, my.
What do you think he looks like?
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Chiefs beat the Ravens 27-24 in overtime. John Harbaugh asked about the refs. And a no call on the Ravens' final possession, John.
John, from your vantage point on that last play, it looked like there was some contact with RG3's pass.
All right, that's all question. Here's Harbaugh.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, I mean, you know, I think you guys should write what you see. You know, I mean, you want us to get up there and criticize the officiating. I mean, I saw the officiating all day. I know what it was. So, you know, just write what you see. You know? You don't get fined for it.
That's a good answer. Right what you see. You saw it. I saw it. Go ahead and write what you think you saw. He's right.
You don't get fined for it.
I got crushed for the Mahomes swing. Burt was like, oh, Patrick Mahomes on the 4th and 9. Everybody's going Mahomes. And we're sitting there. And we're looking at a door when a TV breaks. I'm like, he ran around right end and threw it back across the grain, threw it up in the middle of the field. Tyreek Hill made the play.
Dangerous throw.
He did the same exact throw that we picked him off at the end of the game with.
But, remember, you know, it's a desperation type of situation. So
that's not Mahomes. That's the receiver making a play.
Oh, I agree with
you. So the Patrick Mahomes, and I get you. Oh, you're just. No, I love Mahomes. I think he's great. I'm obviously a Mahomes fan.
Mahomes fan.
But let's not give him.
Check.
This is what we do. This is like the Sean McVay point. You're giving too much credit when you got enough talent around it that they don't make the plays for you.
Like, he's just checking it up, hoping for a play, and he got one. That's what he did there.
Yeah.
Baltimore, though, a bitch about all whatever you want at Harbaugh, but the thing you should bitch about most is your team, and you're giving up those plays.
I didn't see
bitch about that.
It sucks. I wanted to see that.
Yeah, you
game
had
too.
The fight won, and you had them on the ropes, and you let them right
God,
back.
God, you had them. You put
a linebacker on Tyreek Hill on 4th and 9.
Thank you. That's on
That's
you.
That's why Mahomes threw it up there. He saw a linebacker.
That's on
him.
You. He saw the mismatch and he threw it up there. Bitch about yourself and your own team. Really.
How to
Then there was another time I was flying at the Sheephole and we got a wind draft just when we were coming in for landing, about 100 feet off the ground.
React.
We had that Landon from
I want to hear the Christmas song again right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
When are we going to play that again? When are we going to play it again?
I don't know. You know, I was supposed
we'll do it at 1 o'clock.
I was supposed to call everybody and let them know when we were playing it. So this will give me. We'll decide on a time.
I want to play it every hour.
No, you wear it out.
No. Please.
No.
We got 2 weeks.
Nope.
We got 2 weeks. We're all together for 2 more weeks. We'll get it.
Keep playing it a lot, too. I want to see you with a fence.
Cowboys beat the Eagles 29-23 in overtime. Safety Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles was upset with the refs about a fumble on the opening kickoff.
That was a pretty terrible call, to be honest. I mean, they reviewed it, and the explanation I got was that it wasn't a clear recovery, although Kamu had the ball in his hand, and there was only, you know, Eagles defenders on the ball on the replay. So whoever's watching that in New York should stay off the bottle. And you...
Okay, what was the original call on the play?
Stay off the bottle?
What was the original call?
Is that what he said?
Should stay off the bottle.
Wow. Do we know, did you guys see any of that first play? What was the original call on the kick?
I did not see
it. If it was a Cowboy recovery, and if you can't tell by looking at the evidence and the other replays that there's not enough evidence to overturn the original call, you got to stay with the original call. I don't know what the original call was. It was probably a Cowboy recovery.
Right.
That's all.
You ever seen a bear?
Yeah, a couple of them, yeah.
React. Couple.
Oh, my God. Did you guys see the bear on a loose up in Burlington last week?
I did.
Was that outside the
Yes,
Comcast
it was.
Thing? That's the window
Where
in the
was
corner.
It? Yes, it was. So
that's like Tagway's office. You
Third Avenue, Burlington, home of NBC Sports Boston.
Oh, yeah.
I walked
Big
out of the building
bear.
That Friday night, and I thought, wow, parking lot's a little empty. I just sort of looked around, and I thought to myself this same night, it's sort of dark out here.
Something's off.
It's just dark out there. You don't realize how dark that parking lot is. Get in my car, drive away, whatever. And then I get home that night, and on the news is a live report from that the connected parking lot saying, oh, there was a bear running through this parking lot tonight. Right by the Wegmans, right by NBC Sports Boston, through all those parking lots where there's now a lot of shops and stores and restaurants and people who are coming and going. Yeah. There was a bear on the loose.
That bear's
they think
eating.
It lives nearby.
And you're worried about sharks.
All those damn the trash things, the dumpsters. That bear's probably feasting up there. All the restaurants, the Wagmans, you know, all that fresh lettuce.
You know where it started out, Hardy? Over by the Buffalo Wild Wings. It made its way all the way down and back up and through that whole office park area.
He should get his ass over to Tuscan Grill there. They got some good stuff over there. Burlington.
Oh, fish.
Mm.
There's a good fish joint over there. That's
salmon.
What he's after.
Smells of salmon. Bones.
Bears beat the Rams 15-6.
Rams
called it. Only touchdown was a pass to an offensive lineman. Here's Matt Nagy on the play.
I mean, that was a complete thumbs catch. And he just looked it in. The ball was up high. I mean, that was an unbelievable catch. Great throw, too. And that's, you know, great throw.
Does that play have a name?
Yeah, Santa's sleigh.
Who named that?
We did. Yeah, we named it.
Jim Stouch, have any input on that?
Hey, we're on the same team here. If you hear something, you just say, Santa's got a brand new bag. It's coming for me. We're all going down. We're all on the same team
here. We're
going to
stick together.
I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it.
4 inches on those ribbon curls, girl.
4 inches! Santa's not.
Reed.
Kodiak to Anchorage, and my coffee was like, up in the air while my cup was still down here or something, you know?
React.
All the liquid just came right out of the cup.
Think he had
cup
any...
didn't move, liquid moved.
Think he had any grandpa's cough syrup in that cup?
No.
I can't.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Andrew and Milton has a gripe about the Patriots. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So on when they kicked the field goal on fourth down at the end of the game,
yep.
why not just go for it? Because, you know, best case scenario, you score a touchdown. Worst case, you turn the ball over and then they get the ball at, say, the 2 or 3.
Yep.
You then they don't have any timeouts. Then they just have to run that stupid play, and they're just further back.
So they have one long pass, they complete it, and they could beat you on a field goal last second.
Yeah, but they don't have any timeouts.
Right. And say the guy catches and gets out of bounds, or catches one and creases it and runs down to the 45 and it runs out of bounds. I've seen that before. You take the points. You take the points every time.
But what about this? What if they snapped with, I think, 11 seconds. What if they had taken the ball and then just had Sony Michel just start running the opposite direction towards the other end zone? Why not do that? Doesn't that work?
Unless he blows his knee out on the 50 and fumbles it. I don't know. I mean, that's just you don't do that.
You know how long 15 seconds is to run around?
16. Oh, my God. Do you know that a punt is about
a 16 was the end of the play. Hold on a second.
So if you run all the way down and get tackled at the 5 with 1 second left, they can kick a field goal to win.
Do you know that a punt, if you snap it, punt it, and catch it, that takes a total of 4 seconds. So that whole long play downfield, that's a 4 second play.
I find the second guess 11 seconds about how the Patriots handled the ball being inside the 10 of Miami at the end of the game, I find this second guess to be the most annoying thing I've heard since the game ended yesterday. Did you have money on the game? Is that why you wanted them to score the touchdown? You wanted them to cover? Is that what you were looking for? Because the
Joe Murray, yes.
The play there.
He was very upfront and honest about it.
Okay, well then that's your gripe, and that's not a football point. That's just you're pissed off you lost money, and you're a fool for betting this game anyway. Told you all last week. I was telling Zoe pregame yesterday, I said, if they cover this thing, I'll think it's a great win. I think that's awesome if they cover. Of course they lost because they lose quite a bit at Miami. But this second guess is obnoxious. The Patriots, first of all, got down there on the PI, right? That's how they got down there on the pass interference call that they got on Gordon.
Yeah.
So you might say, oh, see, they're being aggressive there. They're taking a shot to get down the field. Yeah, and it worked. They got the PI call. Yep. And then they still had time on the clock. With those runs down inside the 10-yard line,
you burn it.
They burned off everything left on the clock outside of 16 seconds.
Timeout, kick it away, and let's get the hell out of there.
Wow. Right?
Yeah.
That's what they did. And so I give them all the credit in the world.
Do you have a problem with
the
kick?
They burned all the clock. I did. I didn't like it. I
wanted
it.
To kick it through the
end zone. I don't. In those situations, I hate kicking it inbounds because you always run the risk of having the ball go out of bounds and giving it to them at the 40. I hate when they do that. I prefer
them. Do you know there was only two guys on that right side?
Right out of the back of the end zone.
He came up that right side, and he went all the way across the field. And I know he ate some clock up, chewed clock.
Like an idiot.
He turns that corner, guy's an idiot. Though, but if he turned that corner, there was nobody back.
Really?
There's nobody back. Bob and I, I'm pulling my hair out the thing because I'm like, he's going around the damn corner.
So you think the kick had a chance to be returned?
I thought it had. That's why you kick it through the end zone.
I didn't know that. That wasn't really seen on television.
You want to eliminate a dude lost the Super Bowl because Hassan Graham was not in his lane. All you need is one guy to not be in his lane on a kick coverage, and you're effed. They take that right. Those guys, like a Patterson type returner, they take it right to the house. All they need is one crease.
See, I just hate the worst case scenario.
You kick it through and you line up and you get your defense right. How about this? How about burn a timeout and take a look at the peek at the formation?
But the people say you go for the touchdown down there if you're the Patriots because worst case scenario is you don't get it. No, the worst case scenario is you don't get it in. You're only up two. And then they somehow manage to run a play, even pinned inside their own one,
right,
that gets them up into field goal range. Oh, they're not going to do that.
Yeah,
almost certainly not. Like, there's no way they're going to run
that happening. Chance of that happening than what you saw yesterday. 69-yard
play that gets through everybody and into the end zone for a touchdown. Because what was the more likely scenario? There's neither one of them are likely, but it would be more likely for them to get into field goal range and still have time left to try a even if it were a 60-yarder, and that would win them the game, just like they ended up winning the game anyway. But it's not because they gave them too much time. It's because they had the wrong personnel on the field for that final play, and they executed it poorly. That's why they lost on that final play.
I'm actually surprised.
Not because they didn't go for the touchdown.
That on the 2nd and 10 play that they did throw it to Gordon, I'm surprised they even ran that there.
What's the second one? Which one?
The long pass to Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
PI.
I was shocked they threw that slant to the strong side. Like, that was a high throw. But Gordon made a great catch plucking that high on a slant to convert the first down prior to
that. Your goal there is get a first down.
They were aggressive killing the clock. No, they were. They were aggressive to kill that
clock. They were running on every other play.
Right.
But they made
the reason they passed the ball there was because the Dolphins didn't call timeout. And it was so close to the 2-minute warning, it almost gave him an opportunity to pass the ball without having any penalty there.
Didn't Brady get him for 12 men, too?
That was the beginning of the drive, wasn't it?
He did, and they were trying to call timeout.
First and five, right.
And we probably would have rather they burned the timeout there.
Yeah.
You probably would have rather have given them the timeout and not take the 5 yards.
Maybe don't pick up the first down.
All right, did they complete the play on that?
No, they whistled it dead.
Did they whistle it dead for 12 men, or did they actually run a play? Because on TV, it looked like they just whistled it dead, and they didn't actually run the play. But it sounded like
they whistled it. Michelle popped through the left side, and he was running. Or James White, whoever had the ball.
Have you ever seen that, where they whistled the play dead on 12 men?
No, because that's a free play.
Yeah. I was curious why they whistled that play. I mean, we were watching it, and we were like, oh, on TV, it looked like they just whistled it dead, and we didn't see a play. But Bob... The way Bob was saying it was as if they had run a play.
That's a great point. Because normally when you get a guy offsides or 12 men, that's a freebie for the quarterback to just chuck it. Good point. You're just so excited they called him for the thing, it just goes right by you. Oh, great. First and five. Line it up.
Man. So was the 12th guy trying to get off the field or not?
Yes. Sprinting.
He was.
I thought they actually got the timeout, and the ref didn't see it because the slot guy was turning to the ref, the side judge, and yelling, timeout, timeout, jumping up and down. They didn't see it. I saw it.
Yeah, it's listed on the play sheet as no play.
Wow.
Because the difference is if you line up 12 guys and the guy's not trying to get off the field, right, if it's in a formation,
then I believe
they whistle it dead. But if he was trying to get off the field.
You can't call 12 men if you don't snap the ball. You know what I mean? So how the hell is it a no play?
Well, unless Beatles right, the guy was lined up.
If he's lined up on the field, if you line up 12 guys, right, and no one's trying to get off the field.
No, they were sprinting.
They would whistle it. If a guy's whistling, if a guy's sprinting off.
So maybe he was initially lined up. Maybe he was initially lined up and then started running off after he lined up and said, oh, no, I'm not supposed to be here.
Because if you line it up with 12 guys and no one's trying to get off, they'll whistle it.
He came from the interior of the defense. He was lined up and then, boom, he sprinted off.
So that's why. That's why
the refs didn't see it at first, but then they saw once he left, he was, oh, this guy was lined up.
So what was it? It was like a retroactive whistle. We should have blown the whistle. We didn't. We're going to blow it now.
It was a covered-ass whistle.
So what that means is the refs missed everything there.
Yeah.
Missed a player trying to call a timeout.
Timeout was blatant. Everybody saw it.
Emphatic.
Sideline was screaming it. The player was screaming it. Yep.
Bobby McCain, right? Bobby McCain's like,
he's jumping up and down.
Looking
at the side judge.
Trying to get the timeout.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get it.
Then he went over and started screaming at him, do you not see me? Yeah.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me now. Ah, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
By the way, looking at the play sheet now, there was 21 seconds to start the play where Gostkowski kicked the field goal, not 17. 17 after the field goal. So you would have to run around. Sonny Michel would have had to run around for 21 seconds to kill the clock if they did that.
Okay, so it's going to take them 3 seconds to get over to the one sideline. 3 more seconds. 6.
That's dumb. You don't do that.
Oh, why not? You don't want to run the risk of him being tackled, back where they're actually going to have like a chip shot field goal. Is that what you're saying? People just don't want to win,
Jim.
People just, and it sucks. I get it. It sucks for Gronkowski. He had a great game, but people just don't want to admit that somehow he was put in a position to blow that game at the end, but he was.
Jim, the clock was stopped at 1:57 on the second Miami timeout coming out of the 2-minute warning when they threw the ball to Gordon. So.
Okay, I'm thinking of the first one to Gordon. He threw an incompletion to Gordon,
he completed it.
No, it was the completion before the 2-minute warning, but that was the one, I guess. So that was the one that allowed that.
But the one,
so I had them mixed up.
The shot they took to Gordon,
holding call and a completion to the right.
They could have run the clock. They could have bled clock there, and they didn't. They took a deep shot to Gordon, and had he not been interfered, and by the way, the play would have worked if he had not been grabbed the way he was. He probably is making that catch.
He almost caught it with one hand.
Yeah, he almost still had it, which is, a testament to just his ability.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.